You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
Hi, everyone. This is Mark Goddard from Lost in Space. Remember me? Don West. I want to say hi to you all and stay tuned to Flopcast.
Live from Chicken Town, this is the Flopcast, episode 348.
On flopcast.net.
Yes, yes, hello, Cornflake.
Well, hi, Kevin.
Well, hello.
Happy 2019.
Welcome to a weird new year. What's going on?
Well, not a whole bunch. Just making my way through the new year, you?
Yeah, sounds good. But it's a new year. I think we have our New Year's resolutions to announce today. So that's exciting. And there may even be a whole new segment.
Wow.
We have a surprise new Flopcast segment to launch for the new year. And Cornflake, are you ready to share with us the very first National Whatever Day of 2019?
National Whatever Day!
Oh, we're still doing this segment?
Afraid so.
Okay.
Were you hoping that my new segment was a replacement?
Take over.
I'm like, oh, I'm so glad. I'm exhausted. These stupid whatever days.
I guess I can keep going. It's kind of in my blood at this point.
Yeah.
That I think even if it wasn't a segment anymore, I'd be running around telling people what they should be celebrating on any given week.
So it's just shaking people down on the street.
It's like, look.
Do you realize this is Donnie Most's birthday?
It is National Popsicle Day.
What's going on this week?
You have to know. Well, so January 11th is National Milk Day.
Well, that's nice and simple.
It's a celebration of milk.
All right.
Do you remember all the commercials that Does a Body Good?
Yeah, I feel like when we were kids, our life was just a constant lecture about how important it was to drink a lot of milk.
Right. Which turns out
I feel like that was wrong.
Right. Not be true.
Overall, pretty bad for you.
But there certainly was a time in television history where you could not get away from milk commercials.
Oh, absolutely. They wanted kids just chugging it down all the time. And you go to school and they're just shoving it at you and you're at lunch. The stupid little carton of milk.
Which only cost 5 cents.
Yes, the 5 cent milk. And then I remember they raised it from 5 cents, in my school system at least, at one point they raised it from 5 cents to 6 cents.
Your school did that?
They added a penny to the price at one point. And then it went up to 10, and I don't think I was buying it at that point beyond that. Too rich for my blood, I said. I'm out.
I don't think my parents realized how much the milk cost because they gave me 25 cents each day for milk, which I thought meant I was supposed to drink 5 milks. I never made it through recess.
In your time, it was still 5 cents.
It was 5 cents.
Wow.
Yep.
That's a bargain. Now, at my stupid school where we didn't even have a cafeteria, well, I went to a couple of schools that fit that description, but they would truck the lunch over from some other school on the other side of town. Including the milk. So the milk had to take this long, strange journey across town to get to us. And you'd get a bad carton of milk sometimes. It would go one of two ways. The milk would either be frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes they would say, no, this one's burnt.
A burnt one?
And it would be like the carton would be black.
What were they doing to the milk?
Well, maybe there was some kind of a heating device in the truck. And sometimes they would just stack the milk up against it. And so depending on what side of the truck your milk came from, it was either frozen or burnt. And I guess maybe there was one kind of neutral zone somewhere in the middle, and that's where you had to hope it came from, so you get your 5 cents worth out of it.
I'm just thinking of various ways that you can singe a milk carton now.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've never stopped to think about burning milk cartons.
Like, yeah, my school system found a way to offer blackened, burnt cartons of milk. We were pretty hardcore.
Maybe they were branding the milks?
This was some sort of a Mad Max dystopian scenario that I was trying to have lunch in back then. It was wild.
So anyway, happy National Milk Day, everyone.
Now, the other weird milk that I had in my youth was the coffee milk.
Right.
Down in Rhode Island, they drink coffee milk. They take their milk and they coffeeify it with weird coffee syrup. And it's delicious.
Did I tell you what we did up toward New Hampshire? What we did to our milk?
It was like lobster milk.
No. You're thinking of Maine. No, yes. The New Hampshire kids, we put maple syrup in ours.
Oh, that is weird.
So you mix it up and you have maple milk.
And that's...
It's no weirder than coffee milk.
No, it's definitely not any weirder. Is that just a weird thing the kids did?
Yes.
Okay, so that wasn't condoned by the adults and by businesses and the area at large. That was just kids doing their own weird thing.
Yes.
Because Rhode Island, this was above board.
Right.
This was their selling coffee syrup specifically so that people could make coffee milk.
Well, fair enough. The Vermont maid and the Mrs. Buttersworth didn't say, put this in milk.
But you could certainly do it.
I wasn't about to stop us.
Sure.
You put chocolate syrup in milk.
Yeah, that's pretty widespread, I would say.
Syrup and milk is a thing.
It sounds fine to me.
Not as cool as coffee milk.
There's several brands of coffee syrup in Rhode Island. They have Eclipse.
Right.
Coffee syrup is one of the big ones.
I think that might be the best known.
And there's one called Autocrat. And the Autocrat syrup has a chicken on the label.
That's right.
A Rhode Island Red Rooster. So, you know, chicken milk.
Of course.
So are you going to celebrate Milk Day?
I think I might.
I'm going to... With some maple milk?
I'm going to go over to a school with a quarter and see how many milks I can buy.
I'm going to bring a nickel. And I'm going to demand burnt coffee milk.
Yum.
Yeah.
Proving once again that we know how to celebrate.
We know how to ruin any day. So this is a show number one of the calendar year for the Flopcast. Here we are. And our main order of business today, of course, is New Year's resolutions. Because we do this every year on the show. You and I each pick a New Year's resolution. Yours have been very elaborate and strange over the years, as have mine.
But if you track the trend, mine have gotten increasingly lazier.
They're getting simpler to accomplish. What are some past resolutions of yours?
Like, I'll learn how to hula hoop.
Learn how to hula hoop. That's right. You said, this year I'm going to learn how to hula hoop. And that had mixed results.
Right.
Do you feel that you can hula hoop today?
I can hula hoop better than I used to be able to hula hoop. Which means I can...
But are we talking like 3 seconds?
At least.
That's still better than I could do, I'm guessing.
I can't sustain it, but I can do more than one go around.
And this isn't just you in your backyard. Like, you signed up for actual... It turns out you can get professional hula hoop lessons, and that's what you did.
And I'm still in touch with my coach
one of these days. You made a dear friend, it turns out.
Gina.
You were taken in by the hoop community.
Coach Gina, yep.
And now this is a good friend of yours to this day. So if nothing else...
I made a new friend.
You got a friend out of it, even though you're not exactly what you'd call a world-class hooper today.
But I sure did have fun.
Yes, that was one. You had a big trampoline year.
I did.
In which you announced, I'm going to spend 27 hours, was it?
Jumping.
In total, over the course of the year, I want to jump on a trampoline for 27 hours. And then you got sidetracked for several reasons, and I believe you fell short of that goal.
Yes.
And it's fine, by the way.
Yeah.
It's fine because it's about the journey.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah, it's all in the challenge. It's fine.
I sure did have fun trying.
There
and then
you go.
There was the year that I went to a convention.
That's
a festival.
True. Yeah, I knew I was forgetting one. You said at least once a month this year, you'll go to a convention, a comics convention, science fiction convention, music convention, whatever, or a music festival, or some kind of event like that every month, all year. And you did that.
Yes.
That was a success.
It was not easy, but
you
I managed
You were running
it.
Around, going to all kinds of crazy stuff all year.
Yes.
So that was a success. This past year, of course, was your big movie year.
Yes.
Where you watched a movie a month
and
for the year.
I feel like I'm a better person for it.
Having seen the Star Wars holiday special, you emerged, if not a better person, certainly a person with a firmer grasp of the Wookiee language.
That's true.
So that counts for something.
I could do a whole nother year of this and have 12 more movies that I haven't seen because we established that I had been living under a rock.
You barely scratched the surface of movies that you should have seen by now. So yeah, you could certainly go another year doing the movie thing. Is that what you're doing?
No. So what fun would that be?
Going a whole other way. All right, well, I think we've reached the point. Here we go. Cornflake, what is your 2019 New Year's resolution?
I hinted at finding something that's at least as lazy, if not lazier, than watching one movie a month, which I barely managed.
Yeah. I thought, it's going to be like one movie a year?
Maybe. I thought, maybe I should
slow it down?
Check in on a new TV series once a month. At one point, that was an idea of mine, because really, what we all need, right, is more time in front of the television.
Absolutely. That's an area where a lot of us are really lacking. You've really got to put in your time on the couch, people.
But I couldn't make myself do it, Kevin. I couldn't commit to that much screen time.
Yeah.
So I decided this year's New Year's resolution should be once a month, I should go someplace that I've never been.
Oh, all right. I like this so far.
There's a little bit of inspiration from you in this, because there have been times where you've gone to conventions and you've rented a car and you've gone just over the border to say that you've been in this place once in your life.
Yeah, I visited states. Let me think. This happened, the first time this happened was in Minnesota. I was in Minnesota for MarsCon.
And you stuck away.
The reason I had a car was because I was going to a concert. I went to see Diane Birch.
Right.
Well, Diane had a show scheduled here in Massachusetts, which got canceled due to a blizzard. Then I saw she was doing a concert in Minneapolis the night before MarsCon started, when I was going to be in Minnesota.
Right.
So I thought, okay, I guess I get to go see Diane Birch after all. And so I went, I got to meet her that night. Here's where I made my mistake, is I met Diane, she was very sweet, and then I said, hey, Diane, I was supposed to go to that show you were going to do in Boston that got canceled because of the weather, but I came to this show instead. And that's how it turns out you terrify somebody. Right.
Nice job.
Oops. I don't know if I conveyed that I was going to be in Minnesota anyway. I think I did.
Unfortunately, Kevin, people can't hear what you're thinking, so if you were thinking that, she doesn't know. You might want to fill her in.
We also have to point out that to this day, Diane Birch has not done a show in Boston.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, the following morning, I noticed that we were actually relatively close to Wisconsin, where I'd never been before. I'd never set foot in the state of Wisconsin. And so I drove to Wisconsin, had lunch, and drove back. That was the first time that I made a special trip from a convention just to pop in and hit another state. And that happened again when we were at FumpFest, which was in Chicago. The reason I had a car this time was equally ridiculous. I had a car, I believe, because during FumpFest, I sneaked away and went to another convention that was happening at the same time.
Yep.
I slipped away to go to Mego Meet.
I remember that.
Which was a convention dedicated to the Mego action figure dolls of the 70s. And when I was a kid, all the superhero dolls were made by this company, Mego, who were back in business, by the way. Mego came back in 2018.
Really?
Yeah, they're making new Mego dolls again. Anyway, I also at one point noticed, whoa, we're really close to Indiana.
That's right.
And I've never been to Indiana before. And so I went flying over to Indiana just to say I've been to Indiana. I went to a rest stop. Where
the horrifying, was this the wax museum?
Yes,
one?
There's a
absolutely horrifying.
There's a John Dillinger Museum inside a rest stop or a visitor center, I should say. It's great. It's a very elaborate, very strange. John Dillinger, the gangster, has a museum inside an Indiana visitor center. And same place, same visitor center. Outside, there's a flagpole. And there's a statue of the kid from A Christmas Story with his tongue stuck to the flagpole, because this is the town that Gene Shepherd came from.
Indiana's just not right.
But it's quite a destination, you know?
So, that's true.
So I hit Indiana. I saw the statue of the kid with his tongue stuck to the flagpole. I went inside, went to the John Dillinger Museum, and then I went back to Illinois. But yeah, those were cases of me going somewhere new. I know that you've been to a lot of places, though. You've been around.
Right.
You're like Johnny Cash. But this year, you're stepping it up, and you're going to try to go to a new place.
Right.
So not necessarily a different state.
Right. So it could be a new location that I've never been to.
It could be some room in your house that you've never gone into. Do you have some ideas, places that you're going to be hitting? Not that you need to give us any specifics right now, but can you kind of tease the sort of destinations you have in mind?
We got talking about the fact that I have this friend out in Walla Walla, Washington.
Yeah.
She's been out there.
It came up in one of our holiday shows.
Over half of my lifetime now.
She sent you a holiday album.
From Walla Walla, Washington.
Walla Walla, Washington. It's Washington State.
This was the inspiration, really.
Wow.
So I've never been to Washington State before.
I have not either.
So I'm thinking that might be an example. I don't think too many of the places are going to be far flung.
That's a long way to go.
my goal, at least for the flop cast, is to either bring back a story or an item from that place to talk about how I'd gone there for the first time.
And that's the way to travel. You go somewhere, find something interesting.
Right.
Not necessarily a physical thing, but something interesting about the place, something weird. Maybe they have coffee milk.
Maybe they've got a statue of a kid with its tongue stuck to the flagpole.
That's something you don't find everywhere, but I found it.
So that's my New Year's resolution.
Well, that's great. I look forward to strange travel tales throughout the year.
That's mine.
That's a good one.
What about you?
All right. I did a lot of soul searching.
Mm-hmm.
So here we go. So Cornflake, my New Year's resolution for 2019, this year, I'm going to try to be sillier. Thank you.
Well, I'm glad I'm going to have a front row seat for that.
Well, when you're here, you're going to be off on the road. Sounds like quite a bit.
True.
Like Kerouac.
How strange.
All right, so we'll both have a fantastic year running around resolving things.
There you go.
Sounds good. We have something else to take care of right now, though.
Yeah.
Oh, this is, as I teased,
something new.
New segment. I've been thinking about this for a few months, and I think we were...
Someone like me, you've got a better planned segment than mine.
It's somewhat planned. It's not completely fleshed out yet. So okay. This might be a work in progress. You know, we might tighten things up as we go.
Okay.
But it might be a little bumpy at first, but it'll be fine. But when I tell you the name of the segment, it's going to sound familiar.
Okay.
And this will be my segment, I think.
Okay.
The way National Whatever Day is your segment. It might not be every week. We'll see. Yours is every week. And, you know, that's a lot of work.
Consistency is key.
That's true. You're saying that in a judgmental way.
As if
my segment will be inferior to yours if I don't step up to a weekly schedule.
There's only one way to get good at having a segment, and I don't know what it is. That's what I'm saying right now.
Well, Cornflake, here's what I've come up with. Something that I'm calling capes or apes.
I won the bet.
Sound familiar? Yeah, you won the bet, and that's why you don't have to do capes or apes. Yeah, we made a bet, and if you had lost the bet, you would have to do capes or apes.
Yeah.
National Whatever Day, your segment, would have to be themed around capes or apes, that is, superheroes or comic books as a subject, or apes, monkeys or apes.
I had to admit, it was a pretty cool idea.
Yeah, that would have been the idea. Every week, National Whatever Day would have to be capes or apes.
Way more entertaining than serving me iced coffee.
In some way. Yeah, now, that's if you lost. You won the bet. I lost the bet, and that's why I have to serve you iced coffee every week all through the winter. You're drinking iced coffee right now, we should say. Now, my thought is, what if I do capes or apes as a segment? See? So it's not National Whatever Day. I'm not bound by the calendar.
So you just have to pick a topic about capes or apes?
This can be any sort of a subject, either capes or apes.
There's beauty in that.
Yeah.
Unrestricted capes or apes. Capes and apes gone wild.
Right. But
keep
in mind,
about.
It's not capes and apes. It's capes or apes.
Right.
And so here's the part that I haven't quite worked out yet. I feel it should not be up to me. It should be random or somehow decided whether it's going to be capes or apes.
Coin flip.
That's the easy way to go. And I do have a couple of points here. I've got a nickel. I have a dime. So we could just... I hate to fire up the supercomputer to pick a random number between 1 and 2.
We're overtaxing it already.
Yeah, yeah. That thing is definitely going to blow one of these days. So we're not going to use the computer for what could essentially be a coin toss. So one way to go. I think what we're going to do today is just do a coin toss. So is there a better way to decide between capes or apes? Maybe. Something to think about for next time.
I have a way and I can make it for you. So I'll have to bring it back next time I'm in the studio.
This will be some kind of arts and crafts construction project for a future episode?
Yes.
Okay. I look forward to seeing that. All right, so I do have a coin here. I suppose heads here, was that Thomas Jefferson on the nickel?
Mm-hmm.
That should be apes.
Okay.
Because apes and President Jefferson both have heads.
And capes are on the back of people where tails would be.
And here we go. I'm going to flip.
Okay.
We have...
capes.
Capes. Landed on tails. That's capes. All right. Sorry, ape fans. And see, I had an ape story ready to go. That gets put on reserve for another time.
Good plan.
So we're going capes. I have a comic book here. Well, it's like a trade paperback comic book collection. It's new. And this is DC Meets Hanna-Barbera Volume 2. DC has been doing all these Hanna-Barbera comics for the last, I don't know, 3-4 years or so.
Hmm.
And for the most part, they've been really good. But they've been using all the old Hanna-Barbera cartoon characters. Like, they've been doing these new Flintstones comics and new Scooby-Doo comics. They're doing like Scooby-Doo apocalypse comics where it's like a post-apocalyptic world, but with Scooby-Doo.
Oh, man.
It's crazy. And then they've done these mashup comics where they have Hanna-Barbera characters meeting DC superhero characters in the same story.
That is off the wall.
And this is a collection of some of those combo stories. And I just read it. It's quite good. So it starts with the Super Sons meeting the Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt.
Oh.
Remember the Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt?
Yes.
Like a wacky robot dog or yes. cyborg dog? We've talked about Dino Mutt on the show.
Yes, we have.
Must have. The Super Sons, here on the cover you see those like young Robin and Superboy. Super Sons started in the early 70s, and this wacky writer they had back then, a guy named Bob Haney, came up with this concept, Super Sons, and he just announced, guess what everybody, Batman and Superman each have a teenage son.
Whoa.
And this was like the early 70s, that hippie era, and people were talking about the generation gap, you know, the teens versus the adults, you know, Archie versus the Meathead and All in the Family. It was that era where they made these stories in. And the readers were like, so is this imaginary stories or alternate timeline or a what if this had happened? And the writer said, no, that we just never mentioned before that they happen to have teenage sons. And people were baffled.
Oh.
What? How does Superman and Batman have teenage sons that we just never saw before?
They just don't even know about.
The writer said, nope, here you go, Super Sons. He made these crazy stories and it ran for a year or so back then. Anyway, this is a new version of Super Sons. They revived the concept, but it's Robin. This is a young Robin who is the latest version of Robin is actually Batman's son. And then there's like a Superman from an alternate world who Superman and Lois had a son who now is this young Superboy. And they meet the Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt.
Wow.
In this story. It's really good. It's maybe the best story in here. It gives sort of an origin for how Dino Mutt was built by a young Blue Falcon. Very weird, sort of dark, but it works. Blue Falcon and Dino Mutt with the Super Sons.
Yeah, I guess that is a little weird. I still can't wrap my head around Batman and Superman having teenage sons
yeah.
just out of nowhere.
This story's pretty crazy, but it's nothing compared to the early 70s Super Sons. The next story in this book, look at this, Cornflake. This is Black Lightning meets Hong Kong Phooey.
Perfect.
That is perfect because they did it like 70s style, because Hong Kong Phooey was, and Black Lightning both came out in the 70s. Hong Kong Phooey, the martial arts crime-fighting cartoon dog, which I used to watch back then. Completely ridiculous. He was like a dog who was a janitor at a police station. Then he'd jump into a file cabinet and pop out as Hong Kong Phooey.
That's not what happens when I jump into filing cabinets.
No, I've seen you jump into filing cabinets many times.
It's not good.
No.
I break bones.
It doesn't go well. I like that you keep trying. Wasn't that your New Year's resolution like 2-3 years ago?
Was to come out like Hong Kong Phooey.
You said, this year, I mean, once a month, I'm going to jump into a file cabinet. I'm going to jump out as a karate dog. And one of these days it's going to work. Keep trying. Anyway, this is...
I haven't given up yet.
This was a fun story, too. Never give up. Because I like that it's just 70s style. The original costume of Black Lightning with Hong Kong Phooey was just very goofy and fun. Here we have the Flash meeting Speed Buggy.
Well, of course, because in a universe like this, the two of them definitely need to meet.
They really hit it off. Speed Buggy, I was confused. I had these vague memories of Speed Buggy, and I couldn't remember if it was a cartoon or if it was live action. I just remembered a talking dune buggy. And then I realized that there were both. I was mixing up my memories of Speed Buggy was Hanna-Barbera cartoon, but then Croft had Wonder Bug, which was live action talking dune buggy.
I think that's the one that I remember.
Yeah, oh, they were both so great. A lot of talking dune buggies in the 70s. And this one meets the Flash.
In the 70s, I can imagine why they thought the dune buggies were talking.
It's one of those weird 70s trends where
yep.
people were into dune buggies.
That were talking.
This is the one I was most excited about when I heard that they were doing another batch of DC meets Hanna-Barbera stories. This is Aquaman meets Jabberjaw.
Whoa.
Jabberjaw, the giant talking futuristic shark from the 70s. And I know we've talked about Jabberjaw on the Flapcast. We did a shark list, didn't we?
Yes.
I think Jabberjaw must have been on my shark list.
Yes.
Because this was in the wake of Jaws. All these cartoon shark shows came out at the same time. There was Mr. Jaw, and there was Jabberjaw. And Jabberjaw talked like Curly from the Three Stooges, and was in the future, like in an underwater future city, and played drums in a rock band.
Awesome!
And in this story, Jabberjaw is somehow sent back in time to present day and meets Aquaman, as you can see, and then brings Aquaman back to the future.
He's a good-looking shark.
Good-looking shark, big, giant, goofy sharks. Aquaman comes to the future. You couldn't ask for more than that. It's Aquaman and Jabberjaw together. One final story, Cornflake, in DC Meets Hanna-Barbera Volume 2, Captain Caveman.
Is that what that is?
Look at that. Very different interpretation of the character. They tried to make a more realistic-looking Captain Caveman. They still kind of capture the spirit of the character. He still pulls stuff out of his beard.
Nice. Does he still talk the way that he
yes.
did? Okay, good.
And Hanna-Barbera, Captain Caveman, he's all beard. He's essentially a guy that's just...
He's a walking beard.
He's a walking beard. They de-beardified him a little bit for the comic book story, but not quite, though. He still has a beard, and he pulls things out of the beard. So that's the comic that I read this week, Cornflake.
Capes.
It was Capes, came up on the coin, and we have DC Meets Hanna-Barbera, Volume 2, a fine collection, just came out. It's goofy and weird, that's what we like, and that was your initial installment. It's a work in progress,
right. But
that was Capes or Apes.
Neat.
And I think that's what we had for this week's show.
That's that.
First show of the year. Off we go. 51 more. We can call it a year.
And though the upcoming shows may not be as loaded as this show was with surprises, we'll have fun things that we're going to be doing throughout the year that we can't wait to tell you about.
So much coming up. And again, a reminder, coming up very soon is Aresia. That's the convention, a big science fiction fantasy convention in Boston. It's January 18th through the 21st at the Boston Park Plaza Hotel. And I will be there. I'm doing a bunch of panels. I don't know if I can reveal exactly what my panel schedule is yet. I think I'm on 5 panels at Aresia.
Wow.
So I will be very busy throughout the weekend doing very fun, very wacky panels. I can't wait to tell you what we're talking about at Aresia. It's good. At least one panel we're doing is very relevant to a recent Flopcast episode.
Oh, boy.
If you put all the pieces together, you might be able to figure out what that is, but...
Are you doing a panel on arm wrestling?
Are they finally going to let me do a Jabberjaw panel like I've been pitching for years?
Hint, the answer is probably not.
Probably not. Cornflake, get us out of here.
Okay. Flopcast.net is our website, and facebook.com/flopcast is another place you can find us on the internet. We're also at twitter.com, where our handle is @flopcast, and we're on Instagram. Our handle there is with a little underscore in the middle, Flopcast.
Yes, that's it. Well, Cornflake, Happy New Year.
Happy 2019.
Happy Milk Day.
Thank you very much.
You get the coffee syrup, I'll get the maple syrup. We'll meet in the middle.
Maybe milk's not so great for you, but the Flopcast does a body good.
Absolutely. See you next week.
Peace and cookies.
What is the Geekly Oddcast? It's a panel show of television.
I mean, seriously, where else was I supposed to go and watch Gomez Adams ride a rocket ship on a railroad track?
Gaming.
And the dice say... 17.
Oh my god, 17 is Mystic Quest.
And whatever comes to mind.
Why does Zod need a starship?
Alternating Thursdays on the Geekly Oddcast.
Cornflake, welcome to the secret after show.
We've been doing this for a whole year.
First secret after show of 2019. Yeah, we've done the secret after show for a whole year.
And I'm not any better at this segment yet.
We're still trying to figure out what to do. Well, you know what I have?
What do you have there?
I pulled up my Flopcast database where I track information about the Flopcast.
Mm-hmm.
What I have here is a list of what we talked about on every secret after show.
Wow.
Ever.
I'm just picturing what some of those notes look like.
So here we go. These are very brief. I just jotted down a quick note of what we talked about.
At least two of those contain stupid squawking bird.
You ready for this?
I think so.
I'm going to try to move quickly because
okay.
I have like 52 of these to read.
Okay, go for it.
Here we go. This is starting from Flopcast episode 295, which is from the very end of 2017 and then going all the way through 2018. Here we go.
Okay.
90s movie game preview. 90s movie game, we looked up the movie Crazy People, because during the main show we couldn't remember what it was about.
That's right.
Other 1977 TV shows. We had a Flopcast panel about 1977 TV shows. We looked up other 77 shows in the after show. Send your address to Cornflake to get a Valentine.
And people did.
Yes, they did. Next episode, same thing. Send your address to Cornflake to get a Valentine. More Nutella talk. I guess we were talking about Nutella that week.
Because we knew what the people wanted.
The Dr. Demento punk compilation album and the new They Might Be Giants album.
Covered in punk and I like fun.
Yes. Valentine's Day follow-up, because you were mailing out Valentines to secret after-show listeners.
I think I sent a total of 68 Valentines.
Wow, that's a lot. New lobster emoji and looking at other Atari cartridges. Yeah, we played Atari during the show.
That's right.
Freeway, the chicken game. Mixtape March announcement. That was probably the most ambitious secret after show project of the year was Mixtape March.
Went horribly wrong.
Mixtape March reminder and a what's in the bag. We did a what's in the bag during the after show.
Yeah, we did.
And that was for, speaking of Atari, we had the Activision Freeway patch.
Right.
That the kids would send away for back then. We had a what's in the bag and it was the patch that you would get if you got a certain score playing Freeway, took a picture of your TV set, and sent it to Activision. You'd get the Freeway patch. We got one. Mixtape March, Kevin's list of songs for Cornflake. Mixtape March, Cornflake's list of songs for Kevin. Mixtape March, Cornflake reviews songs picked by Kevin. You're never going to guess what the next one is. It's Mixtape March, Kevin reviews songs picked by Cornflake. Cornflake's April movie should be Strange Brew. Listener submitted Mixtape March. The next Patreon bonus show will be Cornflake at MarsCon. All right, giving people a preview of one of our Patreon shows. Mixtape March, Blasted Bill's songs.
Nice. I still have Edelweiss stuck in my head.
Yes, Blasted Bill assigned Mixtape March songs to us to listen to, which we did.
Bring me Edelweiss.
Luke Ski's voicemail as Gilbert Gottfried for Cornflake.
That was awesome.
Beat Ravioli, comma, Michael McDonald tour bus.
That's right.
There's a phrase that's never been typed before. Sampling tiny donuts. That was a good one. You brought tiny donuts to the show, to the after show. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees we have seen live. Selecting Cornflake's movies for May, which was LA Story, and June, Meatballs.
Great.
Horseshoe crabs. More Meatballs talk. And trampoline VIP card.
Yes.
To get you into your trampoline place. Arturo went to Meatballs camp. Yes, that's our listener Arturo. Went to the actual camp where they filmed Meatballs. Cornflake, possible movie for July, When Harry Met Sally. The mayor chooses from the movies covered in sci-fi court. We did classic sci-fi court at Dragon Con, and we had the mayor pick if she had to watch one of these movies. Doornail hears bands from the 80s as man-friendly babies. Sounds about right. Return of previous National Whatever Day, August 8th, National Sneak a Zucchini onto Your Neighbor's Porch Night. Cornflake hits a gong. That's where you just hit a gong.
Yes.
For the after show. Outtake from the main show recording. Peter Brady voice. Yeah, I think my voice kind of broke during the show. I just got choked up and I sounded like Peter Brady when it was time to change. Bare Naked Ladies show happening Labor Day weekend. Yeah, you were going to go to a Bare Naked Ladies show.
And then I got freaked out by all the people.
You did not actually go to. Cornflake has cold brew coffee. Kevin, costume for Dragon Con. That's right, I announced that I would be wearing a costume at Dragon Con. The following week, I announced on the after show that my costume for Dragon Con would be for the Schoolhouse Rock panel, which it was. It was Cloris Leachman. DragonCon Flopcast show sponsored by the number 2000. I don't even know what that means.
There was references, so it...
Oh, we mentioned the number 2000 several times during the show for various reasons. So it was like Sesame Street when a number would sponsor a show. Gotcha. Cornflake movie update. You still need to watch When Harry Met Sally for August, and you're watching Flash Gordon for September. Next one was from our Commitments show. We plan a remake of The Commitments using howler monkeys in Belize.
Right.
That got a little weird. Cornflake tries pumpkin beer. Inventing a drink called an Eve Plum. we still have to do that.
You still want one.
I totally want a drink called an Eve Plum. Yeah, we got to work on that. As I recall, we were going to serve it in a George glass.
That's right.
Oh, we've got to do that. I really want an Eve Plum. Recording from After These Messages concert. We did our big After These Messages concert with me and Ed and Carl and Mikey. And yeah, recorded the secret after show after the concert. Cornflake drives by Old Pizza Place in Manchester, New Hampshire. That sounds exciting.
Gelbies.
Cornflake watching TV. That's all it says. This just says that we almost sing Sugar Walls. The Sheena Easton classic. Yes. Well, I'm glad we didn't.
Me too.
The new Kevin the Turkey, the one in Amesbury, Massachusetts, has been relocated.
Yep.
We make a correction about which Prince song was covered by Bruce Springsteen. This just says Mason Jars of Moonshine. Chicken pox animation on Fresh Off the Boat.
Yeah, that was okay. The TV show that I was telling you about.
We threatened to record a commentary track for the Star Wars holiday special. Singing Holiday Bird. Cornflake is looking for New Year's resolution ideas. Well, we settled that here today.
Yep.
Comma, Singing Holiday Bird, once again. And that's it. That takes us up to last week.
Wow.
What did we do last week? I already forgot, and it's not written down.
Pete the Cat, yes.
Pete the Cat has
a Christmas special
with a voice by Elvis Costello. All right, that took a long time, but that's the entire history of the Secret After Show.
All in one after show.
How do you like that? So I guess for this week's after show, in my database, I'll have to write all that stuff all in one long line.
Might I suggest cut and paste?
I think I'm about to break my spreadsheet.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping through Amazon.com or the Tee Public Store, which can all be found at esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.